Good morning. Please stand for scripture reading. Our scripture reading today is found in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Please remain standing for intro into the word. Give me the Bible.
Welcome to Word of God. Let's all sing Give Me the Bible, hymn 272. Let's sing verse 1.
Give me the Bible's heart, gladness gleam me, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Let us bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for the Sabbath day that we can all be here. And Lord, I ask you to bless the Pathfinders as they directed our service today. And please help me to speak your words, Lord, and help me to bless all these people out here. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I would like to thank the pastors for allowing me to speak at the pulpit this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Aiden Francisco. I just turned 13 and I attend Orangeville Adventist School. I was dedicated as a baby here at Sac Central. I was an adventurer for all 6 years, got voted into membership at this church right after my baptism at Pathfinder International Camp Ree in Gillette last summer. And I am currently a current Pathfinder. So my whole life I have been involved in here. I just want to say I'm honored to be here with all of you this morning. I was a little anxious at first when I got the request to give the message, and that's the perfect transition to my message. My message today will be about why God chooses ordinary people like you and me to do his works. In the Bible, we see how God chose a variety of ordinary people to do his will. Ordinary people just like you and me who are far from perfect, and sometimes made really bad choices. But God still loved them. He forgave them. And he still used them in his service to do his amazing work. David was considered the weakest and youngest in his family. When the prophet Samuel came with God's calling, David willingly accepted. He killed a big giant in the end, and he even saved whole Israel as a teenager. And then he became king. And the 12 disciples were ordinary men, but they were called by Jesus himself. Each of them were picked off their home streets of their hometown, but they all accepted and were willing to help. In the end, they all performed great miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And why does he choose these people? Well, because God doesn't see as we do. It reminds me of the scripture that Naomi read just beforehand. Thank you, Naomi. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not be impressed by his looks or his stature, for I have already refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, but for the man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart.'" God often chooses the most unlikeliest people to do because it shows that God isn't bound by our standards. There we go. Ministry of Healing, page 417 says, God's ways are not man's ways. He is not bound by human methods. Even though we all know this, yet we often try to keep things our way when God's way is always better. God's way has a humbling the proud and rejecting the powerful when he chooses his appointed servants. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Ellen White's Christ's Object Lessons, page 146, says, it is not the capabilities you now possess or will have that will give you success. It is that which the Lord can do for you. Listen to this. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do and far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. God can use every believing soul, no matter who they are, no matter what you do. God can use each and every one of you also. Now, a perfect example of this ordinary into God's glory is Gideon. So turn to me to Judges 6. Let's see. So a bit of a backstory for Gideon. The Israelites had done wrong yet again in the eyes of the Lord, and they worshipped false gods such as Baal. As a consequence, the Midianites were able to conquer them and oppress them. But God can always turn a bad situation into a good one. In his mercy, he sent a prophet to give the Israelites hope once again. And then not long after, Gideon arrives in the story. So Judges 6, verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from every house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now we talk about Gideon in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. An angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. But Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers had told us about in Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. But the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel in the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So, first of all, here's Gideon doing his everyday thing in working hard at his job when suddenly an angel sent from the Lord appears to him and basically tells him to save Israel. But Gideon said, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. So Gideon is basically saying, I'm the weakest clan, I'm the weakest man in my whole family. But God assured Gideon and told him that God would be with him in verse 16. However, Gideon still wasn't sure that God was really calling him to deliver his people from the Midianites. But he finally came convinced after God showed him two miraculous signs. Verse 17. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is from you who talk to me. Do not depart from me here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Gideon set up some food and waited until the Lord destroyed it with some fire. So Gideon prepared a young goat, unleavened bread from ephah of flour, the meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock, and pour the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat and unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. God can do miracles. He consumed the fire consumed the meal that Gideon had prepared for him, and in the process, the fire also destroyed one of the idols that the Israelites were worshiping. Win-win. The second miracle, Gideon still wanted to really check if it was God. Verse 36. Judges 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is a dew on the fleece only, and if the dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And the Lord did exactly as Gideon had done. And it was so. When he rose early in the next morning, he squeezed the fleece together. He wrung out the dew of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let now the fleece be dry only, but all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and there was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew all over the ground. Isn't that amazing? God can do the impossible. He can change anything he wants. God can control everything and everything. God can do the impossible for everybody. So now that Gideon was convinced, God had his man, an ordinary and weak one, but God turns him to the leader of the Israelite army. But God doesn't just stop there to teach him the lesson. God shows Gideon that he can do the impossible. God reduces Gideon's army all the way down to just 300 men. To human eyes, that must have looked kind of scary, but in God's eyes, it's often his way of fighting battles and winning the war. There is nothing that God cannot do. And so, through God's miraculous power, the Israelites defeated a much bigger enemy. Just like Gideon, we too have an enemy who wants to conquer and oppress us. His name is Satan. He is much bigger and more powerful than we are. But when we surrender our lives to Jesus, God will make us stronger than Satan, and Satan will not be able to defeat us. So if you want to be a victorious soldier for God, it is essential for you to do the following things. Number one, ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess of our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." You must believe that God does forgive you because he has promised, and he never breaks his promises. Amen. The second, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and change you into a new born-again Christian. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put up my spirit in you and move you to follow up my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." And to keep spiritually strong and victorious, remember to always read your Bible and pray every day. The third, there we go. The third is to be willing to accept God in your life. God, the Creator, wants to use you. Why? Because he has a special work for you to do. And it always starts when you truly let God lead the way in your life. It doesn't have to be as big as defeating a giant or parting the Red Sea. It's in the little things, like faithfully coming to church, talking to your friend about Jesus, helping people in need, and much, much more. God will use you if you will let him. Like the apostles said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. I want to end on this verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. Let us all be willing and for God to use us. Thank you.
For our closing hymn, we invite everyone to please stand as we sing hymn number 537, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught.
Blessed. Praise the Lord. I've been sitting down here in the pie, and I have been richly blessed. I want to thank you, Pathfinders, for reading and singing and giving the announcements and the children's story, my heart is full, and I'm really, really blessed. And I'm glad we have a few people here today. The numbers were small at first, but I'm glad people came because we didn't want to miss this. And so, leaders, thank you so much. And Aidan, God has given you, stay humble, God has given you a gift of being able to present the Word of God. So keep that before the Lord, and He will use you. And we need more Aidens and Daniels and Danielles to preach the Word of God, because Jesus is coming soon. Amen. So again, on behalf of Pastor Rob and our staff, thank you, everybody. So I'm going to give the mic now to Bona as he gives the benediction. Thank you, Bona. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's bow our head for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you, Lord, for all the opportunity that you still use us to be tools in serving you in the church. We pray that the young people will be staying active in ministry, serving wherever they are. They will be the pillars of our church, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit always inspires them to do great things and great ministries in our church here. As we leave the sanctuary, we pray that the heaven will coming home with us, Lord, bringing peace and bringing blessings to our own household. We pray that the worship experience we have experienced this Sabbath day will bring joy and hope for waiting for your second coming to this world, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Path, we hope you have been blessed today. Happy Sabbath.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsels, guide, uphold you. Lift His sheep securely, fold you. God be with you till we meet again.